Well, what does it mean to be ready for the future? Not so different for companies compared to people when it comes to being prepared for change on the horizon. And that was the focus of a new report that reveals how prepared companies will be after the pandemic from IMD Business School. And for more on that report and ranking, I want to bring on the professor behind it. Howard Yu is IMD Business School LEGO Professor of Management and Innovation. And Professor Yu, appreciate you taking the time here to chat with us. It's an interesting ranking because it's not just overall preparedness and readiness, but kind of sector by sector, you take a look at which companies are best positioned to really innovate and move forward in the future. Talk to me about some of the rankings here too. And I guess we can start with automotive. Maybe not surprising to see Tesla atop all the other companies and traditional automakers in that category. But what metrics did you look at to choose which ones really are best poised?
Yeah, so we have quite a specific definition around becoming future ready. We essentially looking at how organizations are able to scale and build up capabilities that are most relevant for future competition. So you talk about automotive sector, and of course, it's no longer just about building electric vehicle. These days, everybody can build electric vehicles. But it's really this idea, how do you able to scale up the software capability, autonomous driving, as well as building chipset around electronic component. And lately, the shortages of the global semiconductor sector really just exposed how important these new future capabilities are. And from that perspective, Tesla obviously ranked number one. And you're looking at Toyota, they have been able to stockpile in terms of chipset until most recently because of their supply chain digitization. And so what we are trying to do is to have a balanced viewpoint around the health of the core business, as well as how ready they well poised to future capability. That is the methodological perspective that we've been using.
Yeah, and what's interesting is I was just going back to past year reports and seeing Tesla climb the ranks to the number one spot, I think back first in 2019. So that's pretty interesting to see. When you shift over to just the tech sector in general, one of those sectors I think that is normally thought of being always prepared for the future because they build it. Interesting to see Apple kind of left out of your top FANG names pretty far down the list. Talk to me about maybe how that company stalled out relative to the other peers on it.
Yeah, I mean, the tech sector is really of high speed and, you know, sort of the fruit flies of industry, right? If you miss a product life cycle, then you are really in a precarious position. If you miss twice or three times, then you send home packing. And what we've been seeing is organizations that can stay on top of competition in this particular sector are the ones who are very entrepreneurial, meaning they are able to branch out to new services, bringing out new business model as exemplified by Amazon and going through many, many of these moonshot innovation as well. But it's no longer just the FANG or the big tech giant are winning you see there, but it's also semiconductor companies are winning as well, like companies like AMD or NVIDIA are doing pretty well. As compare and contrast the slower moving companies down the rank. So from this perspective, what we're trying to achieve again is to looking at the health of the core business, as well as the diversity of the board, because you need diverse perspective to think outside the box, all the way to innovation trajectory, how much of their new innovation are able to gain traction across all geographical market, all the way to how open they are. Are they able to invest in startup, forging new partnership, et cetera? So from that perspective, we see Apple historically been very, very strong. But just to compare and contrast to others in terms of bringing new product, as we do hard counting across the public available information, they seem to be falling a little behind.
Yeah, I mean, you can only make so many iPhones, I guess, until you come up with a big next product to really climb in those ranks. And it's been a while. When we look at maybe some of the other sectors, too, you got two more for us to hit. And one of them is financials. And I was looking at MasterCard and Visa being top of the list here for preparedness, future readiness. I wonder how much of that might be tied to their embracing crypto or if there's other things. And then you got Square, which is so prepared for the future, they changed their name. They're now Block. So we got to update that, too. What do you see when you looked at financial companies?
I mean, 2021 is really the fintech year, right? Because when people shop at home, people are staying at home and not visiting branch of a retail bank, you know, fintech take off. And remember almost 10 years ago, Zach, people talk about these retail bank. like HSBC, Citigroup, or JP Morgan Chase would be the one who are able to reinvent because they own that customer relationship. Turns out collectively, all the retail banks are squandering opportunities. Turns out it's the middleman in a way, or the middle person of Visa and MasterCard are able to embrace this idea of frenemies, and they're able to forge all these partnerships with their enemies at times. So it's this idea, sometimes you're friends, sometimes you're enemy, but you've got to grow the overall pie. This is when and why MasterCard and Visa Card working collectively together with PayPal, the historic enemy, and they enable Block, now is previously Square, to really taken off. They invest so much on API, application programming interface, so that they're everywhere. So today, of course, they're going into crypto and any of the next generation of payment mode. Look, fundamentally, what we see is MasterCard and Visa Card, they're incumbent, but they have shifted also their identity. Once upon a time, they're being seen as credit card company. Today is simply payment company. And that's the key takeaway. As companies continue to become future ready, they need to shift their identity. They need to embrace frenemies, as we see. And the idea is, how can I grow the overall pie of the industry rather than being obsessed about competition, of taking this biggest slice along the way?
Yeah, they've got more competition too, as we've been talking pretty much all year about buy now, pay later, competitors popping up and growing quickly as well. The last one to wrap up here, though, Professor, is the look at fashion and retail names, of course. We've talked a lot about Lululemon and athleisure, maybe less so from the future readiness piece and maybe more so from just the way that people wanted to be comfy in the pandemic. But you got Lululemon and Nike atop that list. And Nike, too, one of those companies that's really leaned into the metaverse, buying Artifact, one of those companies that's really building out digital fashion. I wonder if that maybe is a piece of maybe why they're so high, or are there other things, just maybe thinking more Web 2, the way they've invested in really that shopping experience online?
Nike is a wonderful example, as you describe. I mean, they are always constantly thinking about what does the future brand looks like and feel like. And this is why they are investing in NFT and multiverse and things like that. But this is also ranking that display and reminded us being future ready requires some long-term commitment. 15 years ago, Nike already experimented with this Nike sensor where you put it in the back of the shoes and beam you data and connect with the iPod. That is the first generation of this idea of direct to consumer and sort of building this online community. And 15 years later, fast forward, they are thinking about multiverse. So it's this idea that it's not enough just talking about e-commerce and omni-channel and personalized offering. Every retail brand talks about that. But what marked the distinguishedness of Lululemon and Nike is they don't just talk, but they actually scale ahead of time. And during the pandemic, it's the stress test. When all the retail stores are forced to shut down, Nike can actually pivot big time into e-commerce. In China, they embrace live streaming. As a result, their revenue do not decline, but in fact rise during the most stressful time. That defines future readiness, how it translates into resilience. And, you know, 2022, we seems to be well poised to great opportunity for brand to capture more revenue. But, you know, our world is increasingly more and more uncertain. But one thing we know, if you're future ready, then you are much more capable of navigating uncertainty going forward. So I think it contains some key lessons learned going forward in the new year as well.
No, pretty interesting to break it all down and very thorough in looking at how prepared some of these companies are for everything, the uncertain future that lies ahead. Appreciate coming on here to chat with us, Professor Howard Yu, IMD Business School Lego Professor of Management and Innovation there.